This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
8-5-5-8-8 or cstpdx.com.
Thank you, March 4th Marching Band. It is 8:03, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, this is going to be an incredible show. We have Martin Lee on the phone. His newest book is Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. Martin, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
People, okay, you know how we talk about leadership and empowering the political left in this country, as well as everyday people? Martin Lee has spent his life doing that. And he's one of these incredible journalists that's impacted you, and you may not even recognize or remember his name, okay? Martin Lee is a founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's the author of a groundbreaking book about the resurgence of fascism. He wrote this incredible narrative history of LSD, Acid Dreams, that really digs into the FBI's LSD connection. He is the co-author of Unreliable Sources, A Guide to Detecting Bias in the News Media with Norm Solomon. And now this incredible book, Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana. Listeners, this is all part of KBOO's 45th anniversary year. And as you listen to us talk about this incredible book, I need you to think about how fabulous it is that you're listening to this incredible Martin Lee on this radio station. Martin, this book is, I don't know, it really is the great American pot story. I don't know why. You must have spent years working on this. Talk about this book, Smoke Signals. Why this book? Why now?
Well, I was living in California when I was, most of the time I was working on Smoke Signals, and at that time, of course, California had legalized medical marijuana. Back in 1996, Proposition 215 was passed by the voters of California. And yet 10 years later in California, medical marijuana patients, some very obviously severely ill, people in wheelchairs, people who are crippled, were being abused physically and psychologically by law enforcement officials. And I was wondering, well, why is this still happening if marijuana was legalized for therapeutic purposes in California? Why was this continuing? And that's what drew me into the story, this very brutal treatment of people who are disadvantaged in California. And it wasn't really being reported on. We heard of very dramatic cases where, for example, a hospice was raided in Santa Cruz in 2002, or the paraplegics were literally handcuffed to their beds. They couldn't move anyway when police came in and tore apart the premises. And yet this kind of thing was going on in other parts of California and wasn't being reported on. That's what drew me into the story, the law enforcement angle. How, in essence, state and local law enforcement in California and in other states, incidentally, where marijuana was legalized for medical purpose, where state and local law enforcement were illegally conspiring with federal law enforcement to basically break their own laws, to break the state laws. That's what drew me in, but I had no idea at the time about the science that was going on, the investigations into how the brain works, into how marijuana affects the brain. And that's what really opened my mind and opened my eyes, and to use an overused expression, kind of blew my mind when I started learning about what the science was telling us about human physiology and biology, and what this plant had, as a result of investigating this plant, what we had learned about how we work and function as human beings. That was really an eye-opener, and it sort of turned the story in another direction, and it became a very enriching process for me to become a reporter covering that unique beat, the science of cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this book, Smoke Signals, it is a big book. It's kind of a doorstopper, but it's so readable. That's what I like about it. The fact that you are looking at this issue that is so demonized in so many ways, and it is a story. It's a narrative history. And Martin, you talked a little bit about paraplegic people handcuffed to their beds, that not being reported. Talk about that a little bit. Why is it important that we have an alternative media that digs into this issue and turns it into something more than kind of an issue? Talk about that.
I think the media angle for this story is absolutely germane and essential. When you go back and look at how marijuana became illegal in the United States in 1937, it started as a media campaign. It was actually William Randolph Hearst, the evil genius of yellow journalism, who was the instigator of the Reefer Madness campaign back in the 1930s, back in the Depression. It was only later on that the U.S. government, the federal government, jumped on board to that campaign. So when we talk about marijuana in America, we're really talking about a story that has been distorted from the get-go by the mainstream media, and it really underscores the importance of, I would say, alternative media, but I would prefer the term independent media.
Independent.
When we talk about KBOO and other community radio stations and programs like Democracy Now!, these are the essential independent media in the United States. I like that term better than alternative, because when you say alternative, you're suggesting, well, this is sort of alternative to the main thing, the corporate-dominated media. I like the phrase independent media because it suggests the alternative to that is what's not independent. Indeed, the corporate-dominated press is not independent of the constraints of corporate ownership and corporate advertising. And all along, you know, the story of marijuana in America, it's such a strange story because the obvious distortions and lies and factual inaccuracies going back to the Depression.
They go back to day one. Martin, I have to interrupt now, and because here's a couple things. Your phone's crackling up, and we're all stifling the urge to say that your phone is tapped, considering the fact that we're all listening to this interview. But the engineer wants to call you back and get rid of the crackle in your phone. And we also want to give people the opportunity to become a member of KBOO. And
yes,
we're joined by the Tuesday Morning Talk Radio crew. What's going on, you guys?
Hey,
you know, just hanging out.
We're hanging out, doing a doobie here. I forgot.
No,
I
that
forgot.
Is emphatically not
totally
true.
I totally forgot.
The number to call is 1-877-500-5266 to get a copy of this book, Martin A. Lee's book, Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. We're asking for a $100 annual pledge. And, you know, forgive me for just like sweeping, you know, past my pledge pitchers in there who are, I don't know, they're dizzy. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, like, wow.
Anyway, so the place to come, you can come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. We love it when people come in person. We'd love to see you. There's a fresh pot of coffee on the burner over there. Get some coffee. There's a few donuts. And I think that there might be some more food coming later. But okay, you guys, I'm going to give you one more chance. Give people a hard sell on this book.
Okay, here's the deal.
Right on.
I've been looking through this book, and it's very good. It's very accurate. It's very cool. It's by a guy who knows what he's talking about. And it is a very convincing argument regarding the multiple uses of marijuana. 1-877-500-5266 is the number you need to call to get this book, $100 contribution. And you're in. The book's free. I can't remember what it costs, but it's like 30
really
bucks or something.
What really impresses me is the book is subtitled A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. That's a history that's probably 10,000 years long, but it's all in one book.
All in one
that's
book. Crammed in
impressive.
There.
Impressive.
Yeah.
877-500-5266 is the number to call for $120
pledge. 1-877-500-5266. Hey, we want to thank Sean of Camas, who's
Yay!
Renewing.
Yay!
And he says that he likes KBOO for the truth.
Hey.
Paul of Portland likes Democracy Now!
Yay.
It's true.
David of McMinnville, amazed at Democracy Now! You know, we do Democracy Now! We do 5 days a week of talk radio. Lisa Loving's on right now. She is a wonderful host, and this show is a wonderful show. And you need to keep us alive. You need to keep this station alive with the best in music and public affairs programming. The way you do that is make a contribution. It could be $5. It could be $5 million. 1-877-500-5266. KBOO.FM.
Awesome. And we are back with Martin A. Lee. He's the author of Acid Dreams, and we're talking about his newest book. It's called Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. And, you know, last week we had another author of a book about marijuana. It was about health effects, and it was about marijuana being good for, it was called Marijuana Gateway to Health, right? And that book was really good for people that are not familiar with this issue. This book, Smoke Signals, is fabulous for people you think you know it all. Martin has gone out and collected these incredible stories. Stories, I mean, this is exactly what someone who already knows a lot about this issue doesn't know. And Martin, I mean, this is, it's like encyclopedic in a way. I wanted to toss it out to you. What have been the turning points in the cannabis experience in the United States?
Well, clearly, when it was made illegal in 1937, I mean, that's the world we live in now still, even though two states have legalized for adult use. But, if you step back and look at the whole marijuana story, it's kind of like a film narrative. In a typical film, there's what's called two plot points, where something happens about 30 minutes into the film that's an unexpected event that sends the story veering off in an unexpected direction, and then there's a second plot point toward the end, about 30 minutes before the movie ends. Well, there's two very dramatic plot points in the marijuana story in America. The 1960s is that first plot point. Sort of out of the blue, it happens that millions of people, particularly young people, start using this herb. That was totally unexpected. That's the first plot point that sends the story veering off in a very different direction. Then, of course, the second plot point is the is 1996 legalizing medical marijuana in California, and then subsequently in many other states. That also sends the story veering in another different direction. It's a very dramatic story when you stand back and look at it. Very unexpected and unusual. The kinds of people that are drawn into the story when you consider, for example, the legalization movement in the United States today. It's a very odd coalition. You have conservative libertarians joined with liberals and progressive, and yet these conservative libertarians are literally begging for the government to tax and regulate them. That's very unusual for a libertarian. And then you have liberals clamoring for states' rights all of a sudden. Very unusual. It seems everything about this plant is strange. Mm-hmm. It is the funny stuff, and the politics around it is very odd and peculiar as well.
There's all these ideas are just getting stuck in the door of my mind. One of the things that really strikes me also about your approach to making a social history, there's so many books about pot. There's so many books. And part of what strikes me that's different about Smoke Signals is that you are able to bring in a spectrum of like how we can understand how this whole thing happened. Like you said, the turning point where it was made illegal, you know, and now when we look at marijuana, I mean, we can joke about pot, but it is the fabric of our lives in this country. People that have never smoked pot before are totally impacted by the criminal justice system, right? The growth of the criminal industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, these issues around health, healthcare, what pharmaceutical remedies are held up to us if people are going through chemotherapy, right? The pharmaceutical remedies for some of the things that we're looking at can't hold a candle to these different issues around cannabinoids. And then, you know, I had a guest on this show a few weeks ago who said the prison system is the biggest engine of poverty in America. Like this issue of demonizing cannabis, it impacts almost, I would say it impacts every element of society. Am I just exaggerating, Martin?
No, I don't think so. And I see it almost as symptomatic of something about our society, that a plant like this, that it's been so useful and such an important friend of humanity going back before the written word, can be demonized like it has been and made illegal. It really shows something's profoundly wrong with our culture. Marijuana has gone from culture to culture, from its origins in the Kush foothills of the Himalayas. Wherever it's traveled, it has always been accepted by the culture. It has never left. When it's gone to an area of the world, it has never gone there and then left. It's always been accepted. It might become a point of controversy. But there's something about the plant that sort of resonates with humanity on a deep physiological level. And again, what I found that's so amazing about the story is what studying the plant scientifically has revealed about how the human mind works, how the brain works, how the body functions. And some of the things I learned that have not been reported in the mainstream media and that listeners will hear for the first time on KABU and other community stations, or people like myself or Clint Werner, who you may have had on last week.
That's who we had last week.
Yes, he does very, very good work. But, for example, THC, the main psychoactive compound in marijuana, the part that gets a person feeling euphoric or, in some cases, dysphoric if they don't like the feeling, it turns out that THC suppresses an enzyme in the brain that's implicated in the formation of plaque associated with Alzheimer's. You know, the take-home message is the more THC you have in your brain, the less likely you are to have Alzheimer's. And you know, it's these kinds of important scientific research that ought to be known, but because of prohibition and because so much of the agenda is set by the government in terms of how policy issues are reported, whether it's about marijuana or other issues, we don't hear about these things. And I can rattle off a dozen examples, like I just did, of things that are really jaw-dropping with respect to what scientists are learning as a result of studying cannabis and the cannabinoids, the particular compounds in the plant. It's quite amazing and very, very exciting and has breathtaking implications for nearly every area of medicine, and that's not an exaggeration.
No, Martin, hey, also, we are going to go and talk with our friends who are showing people how to invest in this radio station, but when we come back, I want to talk about Project CBD. So we're back with Joe and Abe. Joe and Abe, what should people be doing right now?
Well, here's how you invest in this radio station.
Yes.
You make a pledge.
Yes.
And then you keep hearing the radio station.
Yes.
It sounds different when you're a member. It does. It just
it really. It makes it better. It makes it clearer. And you never get Alzheimer's because it's KABU. 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-5266. And on the internets, KBOO.FM.
Listeners, don't take anything that Joe says as medical advice. Go
no,
ahead.
No. This is not medical advice, but you'll never get Alzheimer's if you listen to KABU.
Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to point out is we are offering Martin A. Lee's book. It's The Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. This is an incredible book, people.
It really is.
For $100 annual pledge. Now, I like to suggest that people make 1 hour's wage a month as your contribution to
KABU. Wow, that's good.
So however much money you make, that's how much you should contribute per month. And a $100 pledge is what you would be contributing if you made minimum wage. $8.95 is minimum wage in Oregon. Really want to put it out to you people. You give us a contribution. You get a copy of this book. And I don't know. These are stories. These are arguments that you're going to have with people for years to come. And you're going to end up on top of the argument. I'm just putting that out. And
we all bicker
about marijuana.
It's true, and in fact, it'll be years, and you can make good arguments because you'll have been influenced by this book.
But I think we're looking for our first call for this show.
We are.
Need to step up to your phone, pull it out of the darn pocket, and call 877-500-5266. Do it now, people.
Yeah, what kind of pocket?
I don't know. Pocket, pants pocket, whatever
shirt pocket,
you got.
Coat pocket. Well, yeah, whatever pocket.
You know, wherever you put your phone. 1-877-500-5266. And on the internet's KBOO.FM.
I've been looking through this book. It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's thick, too.
One might argue that the very same demographic shifts that have brought about majority support for gay marriage will soon bring about majority support for the legalization of marijuana.
It's already
this
happening.
This is happening, folks. And this book can be yours for a $420 pledge.
And you learn the very real medical advantages of marriage to Werner.
877-500-5266 is the number to call. Make an investment in this radio station. Get a copy of this book, Smoke Signals. Come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Go to the website, kboo.fm. You know, Abe, it's interesting what you just said about that, like the social movement itself.
Yes.
Because when you look at the history of a pot and also cocaine, right? The war on drugs. The people that we have incarcerated in this country are very likely the people that would, they're people who cannot vote. So as we're looking at this Martin A. Lee's book, we're looking at Smoke Signals, a narrative history of marijuana. We are literally talking about the cutting edge of democracy in this country.
Who's allowed to vote
and who's not? And in some of these states where so many people are incarcerated for low-level drug crimes, right? Having a bud in your pocket or something like that, not hurting anybody. Those are exactly the people. Some of these people are never allowed to vote again.
If you have a bud in your pocket, you're probably glad to see me.
877-500-5266. People, we need to get the first caller in here to put some money on the table and get a copy of this book. I bet a lot of people that are listening are already members.
And it's an elegant book. It's a beautifully put together book, a very accurate book, a very careful book, a very reasoned book. And I think if you are growing older, there's a seriously good argument about preventing Alzheimer's disease.
And like I said, I think a lot of people listening are probably already members. And people in your position, we really love gift memberships. Gift memberships go a long way for us.
Hey, that's a good idea. You know, your Aunt Mabel probably doesn't listen to KBOO, but, you know, if she had a gift subscription to the station, she probably would.
Right. And also, maybe we should spend a little time figuring out an important person, an important public figure in America who people could give a gift gift membership to KBOO too by calling 877-500-5266. The president has a membership of KBOO.
John Boehner.
John Boehner. Give a membership to KBOO.
We'll look up John Boehner's address. What we need is his mailing address, and can find that.
I think it'll work.
As soon as he finds out he's a member, the orange will fall right off of his skin.
Check this out. When you give us a call, 877-500-5266. You make a contribution. Say, for example, you have a minimum wage job. You're making $8.95 an hour. You say, I know, I'm going to make an $8. I'm just going to up it to $9 an hour, $9 a month. Make that contribution to KBOO, electronic funds transfer. You're going to get a copy of Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific.
And you're
going to get a card, a KBOO membership card in the mail. And that card gives you benefits all over the Cascadia bioregion.
It's like being
part
of a club.
It pencils out, people. It's an investment. It's good for you. We need the first person to call, though. We need someone to get it.
If John Boehner had a membership, he might never cry again. 1-877-500-5266.
If you just woke up, if you're a little bleary here, if you're waking up to the dulcet tones of Lisa Loving, you don't even have to pick up the phone. You could just log on to the internet, www.kboo.fm, click on the tip jar, fill out the online membership form, click the other thing, and then all of a sudden you're a member.
The other thing.
You're on that website, I encourage you to take a look around, because there are archived versions of this program, of every other morning talk radio program, of many of the wonderful music shows that air every week on KBOO. All of this is archived for your listening pleasure.
All right, and it's time for us to come back to Martin Lee. But people, we need you to step up and make a contribution to this radio station, because we're already talking about the difference between corporate media and independent media, as Martin A. Lee has already made that point. We're live on the phone with Martin Lee. He's one of the founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. It's an incredible privilege to have him on the air with us. And Martin Lee, now, I already bragged about you as being a fabulous leader, you know, a leader of the left. Talk about Project CBD, what you're working on.
Well, Project CBD actually is the initials for a particular compound in cannabis called cannabidiol. Like, we've heard of THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, that's the high causer. Well, CBD is not psychoactive. It doesn't make people feel stoned. In fact, if it's in the plant in any considerable quantity, it can actually neutralize the stony effects of THC. And this is very significant, because it turns out CBD has remarkable medicinal and therapeutic properties. And what it means, in essence, is that for those who aren't comfortable with the feeling that marijuana induces, they can now access the medicinal properties, the considerable medicinal properties of the plant, if it's a CBD-rich plant. They can benefit from the plant therapeutically, whereas they may not be inclined to if they've tried marijuana and they don't like the experience. As many people have that feeling, it just doesn't work for them. You know, some people, they smoke a joint and you got to peel them off the ceiling. They get paranoid, they get anxious. Well, CBD can neutralize those effects, and yet it also enhances the medicinal properties of THC, you know, other than the psychoactive effects. So when you combine CBD and THC together, according to peer-reviewed scientific journals, articles in these journals, it has a very potent anti-tumoral effect. For example, CBD can actually shrink precancerous tumors. This work has been done at the California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco. It's going on at Yale University, and it's going on at many research centers around the world, looking at CBD's anti-tumoral properties. CBD, it turns out, can promote neurogenesis, the creation of new brain cells in adult mammals. CBD has protective effects against alcohol poisoning in the brain, and it lowers the incidence of diabetes. And I can go on and on. It actually is shown to stop mad cow disease in preclinical work. That means not human studies, but animal studies or scientific work with test tubes and petri dishes and so forth. CBD is a remarkable medicinal substance, and it's really all the rage among scientists in this field now. There's a lot of excitement about harnessing CBD's therapeutic properties. And what drug companies are looking at now is combining CBD with their own chemotherapy.
You know, I have to... Oh, go ahead. Martin, you're in the middle of a sentence. Your phone is really clicking just the way we always know that it does when somebody's tapping your phone, and it's not freaking me out. I'm not paranoid. Go ahead. You're talking about... Now that I've interrupted you, the CBD Project CBD, and you're talking about the benefits of this particular, would we describe it as a compound?
Yes.
Talk about the Project CBD that you're working on, and now you've had a news blog on projectcbd.org, and you guys are growing. You're growing. So talk about that work that you're doing there, and the journalism around it, and what direction you're going to take it.
Well, my colleague Fred Gardner was a former editor at Scientific American, and he was an anti-war organizer during the 1960s. He and I formed Project CBD. The idea that was this. Fred and I were covering the science beat. We were going to these conferences. Now, these are real straight-laced scientists we're talking about. These are not stoners. These are not pot smokers. These are hundreds of scientists from around the world. Present their findings and working in the area of cannabinoid science. And we kept hearing about CBD at these conferences and how exciting it was. And we thought, gee, well, wouldn't it be interesting if people could actually access this on the ground in states where medical marijuana was legal? Because what we have mainly is the THC-dominant marijuana. That's what patients can access, but really not much CBD. So we decided we would form an organization, a news service, that would report on the scientific research going on with respect to CBD and other components of the plant, and inform the medical community, the doctors, the patients, and the general public about this. And at the same time, once it was discovered that CBD was in certain strains of marijuana in significant quantities as a result of the analytical labs that were popping up to service the medical marijuana industry, they would test the marijuana to assess how much THC was in there, and you know, one out of 1,000 strains would actually have some significant amounts of CBD as well. We would isolate these strains. We went to great lengths to make them available to the dispensaries and various outlets. And it was met with a lot of enthusiasm on the grassroots in California and other states, people really clamoring for CBD because from the medical marijuana industry perspective, they realize they can really open up their whole patient who wouldn't be necessarily attracted to the marijuana subculture as a result of CBD. So we really are an information service that kind of connects all the wires between these different communities, and we service people from all over the world who contact us seeking to access this this compound, which really is not just simply an isolated compound. It's part of the plant. Mm-hmm. CBD is part of the marijuana plant. But what happened is, just to sum up the story, when people started to grow their own marijuana in significant quantities in the United States, going back to the late 70s, early 80s, and this was happening initially really mainly in southern Oregon and northern California, the breeders who were creating the strains, who were crossing the different strains to make these wonderful different flavors, if you will, they wanted to make different strains that would get people as high as possible because they assumed that's what people were looking for, the euphoria for marijuana. And as a result, they inadvertently bred out of the strains the CBD.
Because they didn't know it existed. They didn't know what it was.
They didn't know what it was, and because they were looking for the high, which,
yeah,
you know, it's fine with me. I don't have anything against the high, and I enjoy it personally, and it has therapeutic value in and of itself. But for some people, it's really an obstacle, and it's a problem. Mm-hmm. But now that the CBD has been rediscovered in certain strains, kind of serendipitously, breeders are now looking to bring it back. and to create strains that have high amounts of CBD. And particularly what people are interested in now is the oils that are extracted with what we call the CBD-rich oils that have as much THC or even more. And we're getting amazing reports about the therapeutic properties from the oils, cures for cancer, epilepsy, and things like that. That's what people are claiming now anecdotally. But the anecdotal claims we're hearing from medical marijuana patients match what the scientists are finding when they do the research, largely preclinical research, in the laboratories. And that's very exciting.
We are live on the phone with Martin A. Lee. We're talking about his newest book. It's called Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. It's quite an impressive tome. It must have taken years to put it together. And this is an excellent book for someone who thinks that you already know everything about this issue. Anyway, it's an awesome book. And also, Martin Lee was talking about his work with Project CBD. That's on a website, projectcbd.org. You can see all of their blog posts about this research. It's completely fascinating. And now, Martin, I don't know if you can hear it, but your phone is crackling in a way that phones don't usually when they're on the air here on this show, because I'm kind of a connoisseur of crackling phone noises. And I wanted to ask you about some of your past work, especially this book, Acid Dreams, where it's kind of also a narrative history of a drug, a narrative history of LSD, and you are looking at, like, even you're really digging into the FBI LSD connection there. Talk about some of your past work. Talk about the role that law enforcement plays in some of these, I don't know, issues.
Well, you know, law enforcement, the role they play obviously is an oppressive role, a tyrannical role, but ironically, you know, it kind of works out opposite in some ways, because
when
a drug is made illegal, it has kind of the allure of a taboo, you know, and people, particularly young people who are feeling rebellious or anti-establishment, they're drawn to that for the very fact that it's illegal. There used to be a joke about marijuana back in the 1960s. Well, if it wasn't illegal, it wouldn't work.
Right. If pot was legal, it wouldn't work. Right.
Exactly. And same with LSD, of course. Acid Dreams was about LSD, and I spoke a lot in the book. I wrote a lot about the CIA, actually, FBI a bit as well, but it was mainly the CIA's work with LSD, attempting to harness it as a weapon to control the mind, whereas many young people in the 60s were embracing LSD and other psychedelic drugs as sacraments that would expand the mind. I thought that was quite an ironic juxtaposition. One substance, a weapon to control the mind, that's how one group saw it, and yet others saw it as something that would expand the mind. And it was that irony, that central irony of the LSD story that kind of drew me in, and that formed the framework for the narrative. Was also a social history. Social history, whether it's of LSD or marijuana or any other kind of subject, it's essentially a history told through characters. And that's how I prefer to write books, because it makes it more accessible to people. You could say Smoke Signals, even Acid Dreams, is somewhat encyclopedia in its scope, but it's not in the way it reads. It's meant to read in a very smooth way that draws people in, and you can follow the characters from beginning to end.
But the funny thing is, and you've touched on this a little bit, is that when, like you said, William Randolph Hearst starts the ball rolling on demonizing cannabis, specifically cannabis, and you see these Reefer Madness films that talk about, well, if you ingest that, you're going to jump off the roof. And so then you have tens of millions of young people who, over the generations now, we are talking about a sweep of generations, who have tried that and seen that all these establishment figures were lying to them. So the whole, in a sense, the whole demonization specifically of cannabis, actually has the social impact of making young generations, multiple ones, not trust the establishment. That's fascinating. I don't know what else has done that in American history.
Well, it is very vivid, because when you try something, you experience it in your own body, you know, you have irrefutable proof that something is the way it is. And if it's 180 degrees different from what the government says, could lead, at least it did in the 1960s, still today to some extent, it could lead for people questioning not just the laws about marijuana, but a lot of other things, you know. So it really had a boomerang effect when it was made illegal.
It's like a social gateway. It's like a gateway to social activism, like the opposite of a gateway drug. You understand what I'm saying? It makes you question other things. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it could be. Not always, but yeah. Certainly it could enhance a sense of cognitive dissonance. That's what happened in the 1960s, when at least symbolically both marijuana and LSD, embroiled, intertwined with the protests, the social protest movements of that decade. And it tends, for some people at least, to kind of magnify the discontent, basically the cognitive dissonance with respect to government policies across the board. That doesn't automatically necessarily make a person distrustful of official policies, but it certainly has had that effect, and it could have an effect for many people.
It just heightens the impact of the sense of being lied to. And that's one of the things that's so interesting about how libertarians and leftists, well, libertarian is sort of like you're so far to the right that you're coming back along the left-hand side kind of a thing. But it is interesting to see how many people now are ending up in this community of people looking at the federal government and saying, what are you doing now? What is this about? Especially when more information comes out about how ineffectual pharmaceutical drugs are and how dangerous their side effects are and how many people die from pharmaceutical drugs.
Yes, and that's what's so exciting about the cannabinoid science, medical science research, because cannabinoids are very safe, it turns out. You know, marijuana, you can't die from it. And when you look at the cancer research that's being done, not just in terms of treating people for nausea and the side effects, the terrible side effects from chemotherapy, but actually the direct anti-tumoral effect of the cannabinoids like CBD and THC, what they find is that these cannabinoids have this unique property of almost like heat-seeking missiles. They can go and target the problematic cells, the cancer cells, and they leave the other cells, the healthy cells, unscathed. And that's something that your standard frontline, first-line chemotherapy drugs don't do. They ravage the whole body. They kill the good cells and the bad cells. Cannabinoids target the bad cells and leave the healthy cells untouched.
Awesome.
And that's very exciting. Yep. And just one other quick point. What some of the big pharma companies are looking at is combining their own chemotherapy agents with CBD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what they're finding is that the CBD enhances the potency of their own chemotherapy agents so that people have to use less to get the effect. So they'll be less harmed by it.
Martin Lee, we have to go back to our friends in the Palace of Pledge. And I do want to say really quickly, Clint Warner pointed out last week also that when we're talking about these beneficial aspects of cannabis, part of it has to do with how you ingest it and not smoking it all the time, basically finding a different way to do it. And we are going back to the Palace of Pledge. You guys do your thing.
Yes, it is the Palace of Pledge. And I want to emphasize that this book is really a serious examination of the medical and other uses of marijuana. And if you want this book, all you have to do is pledge $100 to KBOO right now. And it's a book that if you bought it commercially would cost you, I don't know, a bunch of money anyway. So why not just get the book? You can put it on your bookshelf. It makes you sound like a real intellectual. It makes your marijuana use rational. It's a good idea in all sorts of ways, and it'll cure Alzheimer's,
and
I think.
The number to call is?
Yes, the number to call, 877-500-5266. 1-877-500-5266. Give whatever you can, $100 or more. Get you the book. It's so cool, Smoke Signals. 1-877-500-5266. On the internet, kboo.fm.
This is a pretty impressive piece of work, I got to say.
No, it's good. He's a good writer.
He is.
His stuff.
Yeah, this is a systematic and almost encyclopedic
Acid Dreams was good too.
Approach to the history of this substance, which is among the more misunderstood.
This substance.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of the more misunderstood social and economic factors in our culture. I think this is the sort of thing we need as we hover at the cusp of legalization everywhere.
Cusp. I like the cusp.
You know what else? You know who else is on the cusp? Those of you who listen and aren't members of this show.
Yeah.
You are on the cusp. And I say to you, get off the damn cusp. 877-500-5266. Become a member.
Quit
who wants
cusping.
To be sitting on a cusp
no
all
more
day
cusping.
Long? Not
1-877-500-5266. 1-877-500-5266. KBOO.FM.
Click on the tip jar if you visit the website. You can't miss it. It's jar-shaped and says tips on it. You click on that, it takes you straight to the online membership form. It's just that easy. All you have to know is your name and where you live and how to get out your money. It's just that easy. You could become a member in just a few clicks.
And I used to raise cusps.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to have them in a variety of colors. They're very good for decorating your salads. They have no flavor, however, and that's the point. You need flavor, and flavor comes with radio, and radio comes with KBOO. 1-877-500-5266 and KBOO.FM.
All right. Actually, it's time to come back to Martin Lee. We have some few minutes left in this show. Martin, I did want to ask you more about what's next. I mean, I know what's, you know, here in Oregon, we had the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act was defeated here in the most recent election. And yet the people who created that campaign, basically, they changed their strategy for how to do that. And I found that a lot of the people that worked on that campaign, like you said, they're not people coming from a drug culture. They're not potheads. They're political activist people that are looking at something more targeted for legalization of cannabis. Actually, in Oregon, what they were looking at was creating a different economic structure for the state. Basically, like you said, you know, legalize it and tax the hell out of it. Martin Ely, what do you think is next for this issue, for the cannabis legalization movement?
Well, I think, you know, we're in the midst of a cultural shift with respect to cannabis. I think that the legalization movement will continue to gain momentum. We'll see other states. And the reason why I say that with a fair degree of confidence is that, again, when you go and look back at the California example and other states that have legalized marijuana for therapeutic purposes, you know, what has happened? There's been no pattern of harm. There's been no pattern of problems with respect to marijuana use, like we've seen, for example, with big pharma drugs, where they're put out and they kill tens of thousands of people, and you have to recall them. There's nothing like that.
Also, not very well covered in the media either, by the way. Yeah.
You know, so it's one striking fact of the whole medical marijuana experience in the United States that it's largely been successful. The problem has been with law enforcement, with the interference, and with the whole the reefer madness hangover, which continues in this country. And, you know, it's not like reefer madness ended in the 1960s when people on it in large numbers. It lingers. You know, it's like reefer madness light is still with us today. And so despite all, despite this incredibly ridiculous federal obstruction, the federal policies that have attempted to thwart the medical marijuana industry, it persists and it's booming. And I think given the fact that the medical marijuana experience in these laboratories of democracy, in these states that have legalized it for therapeutic purposes, have largely been a success, it's likely to be the same for legalization across the board. So I think above and beyond the economic implications, which are significant and it's a compelling argument, I think the fact that marijuana is largely a very safe substance, it's safer than many foods we commonly eat, and that's a direct quote from the former DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administrative Law Judge Francis Young, when he looked at the issue objectively and recommended that marijuana be rescheduled so it's not considered a drug with no medical value or dangerous drug, and his higher-ups at the DEA rejected that. I mean, you know, the basic experience when you extract all the hoopla and all the political nonsense and the reefer madness ongoing nonsense, it's been a positive one, and because of that, that will carry the day. Mm. Clearly indicate that younger voters in particular favor the legalization of marijuana with more significant numbers than other age groups. So the demographics, the cultural consensus clearly are pointing in that direction, but, mm. you know, and we're at the point now on the cusp, perhaps, of legalization. You know, interesting issues, you know, are raised. I mean, is it all about just legalizing marijuana and then everything's great?
The whole economic system is built on prohibition. I mean, really, it is. It'll have an impact economically.
But I think my argument is compelling. In some ways, it's certainly not the only argument, and maybe it shouldn't be the central argument. The central argument is that this plant is safe, it's beneficial in many ways, and it shouldn't be demonized. And for that reason, it shouldn't be illegal. In addition to, and considering what it would mean, the implications for law enforcement, you know, taking this noose off our neck, that's very significant in and of itself. I think law enforcement is the main obstacle toward with respect to legalizing, more so than any other elements in society. Things are changing, and I think You know, I don't like to predict the future, but certainly it seems that we're moving in a direction of legalization, and it can change very, very quickly, or maybe it'll change it'll keep going at a very slow pace. But when you look at how things changed when the Berlin Wall came down all of a sudden in Eastern Europe, and, you know, wham, bang, and Soviet bloc communism doesn't exist anymore within a space of a year, and no one expected that. You know, we thought growing up during the Cold War that it was just a permanent fixture. I think things can change like that very dramatically. It's based on lies. It's built on a mountain of lies.
It is. And, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity to go back to the Palace of Pledge one more time. We're going to go back
there
early.
Because
we need to get people in the door. We need to get people on the phone.
It's KABU daring to talk about the truth.
It's getting loopy up in here.
It's crazy. 877-500-5266.
$100 gets you a copy of Smoke Signals' very worthwhile book. Less or more gets you all sorts of good swag. But remember, the main thing is this station cannot exist, will not exist, without the support of people just like you.
Ladies and gentlemen, when Joe doesn't wear his headphones, he talks right over the top of other people.
Yes, I do, because I can't tell they're there.
877-500-5266 is the number to call. That's how you become a member of this radio station. That's how you get your hands on a copy of this marvelous book, Smoke Signals by Martin A. Lee. That's how you get your hands on a number of other compensatory gifts that we have for you in exchange for your membership. 1-877-500-5266.
That's 1-877-500-5266. And that was said slowly for those of you who do a pipe of keef before breakfast, which
anyway,
is like 100 camels in the courtyard.
I want to jump in here and say, my name is Lisa Loving. I'm a KABU volunteer. I've been a KABU volunteer since 1990. When I come here every Wednesday morning, guess what? I'm not paid to be here. This is something that I do that I think is really important, because I feel that KABU is the center of a stream of democracy in the city of Portland and in our region, the beautiful Cascadia bioregion. I feel so strongly about it that I cut off a piece of my life and have given it for all these decades, right?
Oh, that's
and
so sweet.
I just need people to step up, grab your phone, dial 877-500-5266. People who are already members, you know what? Come by in person and just empty out your wallet on the table. Now's the time. We need people to step up, because you know what? This stuff doesn't come out of the thin air. We need to be sustained. We do not get money from the federal government, believe it or not. We do not get money from the government.
Yep.
So we need people to show up. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. I also want to put this out. This is KABU's 45th year, okay? That means, I believe, they're calculating that the 45th year, it was 45 years ago that the incorporation papers were filed, okay? Now, it's called KABU. Boo is a pot reference. Back in 1968, this radio station was named after a strain of marijuana, okay? Because it was independent. It was to show the alternativeness, the independence, the sense that this community of radio people is part of your lives, right? It's not something people are trying to shove down your throat or anything like that. We need people to honor this radio station in the 45th year. We need people to respect the alternative aspect and the riskiness of this radio station. And that's why we need people to show up. We are at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Look, people, now's the time. We need people to come in here. Come on, man.
Yeah, come on down here, really.
Yeah, come on down here. You will be amazed at the opulence of the KABU Tower.
Yeah, you know, you could come here and you could sign up for a volunteer training while you're here.
That's right. You know, we got bagels. We got a couch. Come on down.
We got no locks. 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-5266. You out there know that you haven't yet contributed, some of you, and you want to contribute, and this is the opportunity to make a contribution. And for $100 or more, you can get Smoke Signals, this excellent book by Martin Lee.
It's an awesome book, and I put this out before people. If you listen to KABU all the time, this book, Smoke Signals, this is a perfect gift for someone that is already totally knowledgeable about cannabis culture, the laws, and the science. This is just a fabulous piece of writing that ties the whole thing together in a way that makes sense inside your head, so that when you go out into the world, you know, listeners, you it seems like it's a passive thing listening to the radio, but this is not passive. You're getting ideas from KBOO, not just about books and politics and social history, but about music too. Dude, were you listening last night when they were giving away tickets to the Thievery Corporation? If you're a KBOO listener and you've heard of an author, a speaker, a movement, or a kind of music on KBOO that changed your life, you need to be on the phone, okay?
Yeah,
and
really.
I just want to put this out to you. 877-500-5266. I think you need to pledge the cost of a freaking CD. Pledge
yeah,
the cost
man.
Of a CD.
Really? Come on.
Per month, okay? Per month.
You know,
do
come
it.
On. 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-5266. Online, KBOO.FM.
You know what else we do here at KBOO?
What?
We do math. If you pledge at the level of $60 a year, that is $5 a month, that is 16 cents a day. You can find that in the cushions of your couch.
My couch.
You're going to have a clean couch if you do that every single solitary day.
Right. Yeah, see, that's how to think about it, Lisa. You support KBOO and you have a cleaner couch. It's a win-win.
I'm thinking people should maybe just visualize the cost of a half rack of PBR, which is like $7 on sale or so. You know, or if you go to the one of the more expensive markets, that's going to be $10. Think about the everyday things in your life that you consume and you don't think twice about it, right? KBOO is a place where you invest your resources because it actually makes the world around you a better place. And KBOO's part of what makes the Pacific Northwest what we are. 877-500-5266. 45 years on the air, okay? And, you know, I'm just willing to bet if you're a KBOO listener, you've heard more interviews about cannabis on this radio station than any other. And, like, where are you going to turn to find information that turns the light bulbs on over your head or the information that you go and bicker with your sister that only listens to NPR? I'm not saying that happens, okay, but it could happen. 877-500-5266. I have two lovely sisters.
Okay.
Come in person. We have Fresh Pot of Coffee on the burner, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon.
Yes. We have a lovely staff of volunteers standing by waiting to take your contribution.
Waiting to
right
take
now.
Your contribution.
If you can't make it in, that's all right. 877-500-5266 is your connection to glory.
Glory!
877-500-5266.
Yes, or online, KBOO.FM.
All right, let's bring it back to Martin Lee. And I do want to give you a heads up to listeners. At 9
right.
o'clock,
right.
Andrew Geller Andrew Geller is going to be speaking with Jerry Mander. How cool is that? His latest book is The Capitalism Crisis, Fatal Flaws of an Obsolete System. And I'm going to suggest to the magical engineering pixie that maybe he needs to cut the microphones to the Palace of Pledge. Awesome. This is live radio. Seriously. Martin A. Lee, we are back with you. And Martin Lee's book, Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana, Medical, Recreational, and Scientific. Martin, as you were doing the research on this book, did you come across stories or issues that surprised you?
Yes, you know, many, many different stories and things that kind of challenge my own perceptions. You know, there's the old wives' tale, if you will, about George Washington smoking marijuana. He was a hemp grower, as many of the founding fathers were. Hemp, of course, is the fiber plant, the fiber version of the marijuana plant. And when I did the research in that, I found out there was actually a manual written for hemp growers in the United States back in 1765, the same year that Washington wrote in his diaries about planting hemp and bemoaning the fact that he was too late in separating the male and female plants. And, of course, if you're a sensimilla grower, if you're a marijuana grower these days, you want to do that. You want to separate the males from the females because it's the female plants that are really the greatest concentration of cannabinoids in the buds. But it turns out that Washington was not a marijuana smoker because when you look at the actual treatise, that the guideline that he was working with this treatise that had been written by one of the members of the Quincy family that gave us
John Quincy,
the future vice president of Washington, close to this family. It turns out that they were recommending separating the male and female plants because they wanted the female plants to grow better after they have been impregnated by the males, which is something that Sensimilla growers don't want, because that would make them have more sun to grow and so forth and so on. Washington and the Founding Fathers were obsessed with hemp. It was such an important plant because it provided so many different products, paper, cloth, fuel for the oil, and so forth and so on. So that was one thing that surprised me. You know, the other thing, it always comes back to the science. You know, one of the things I learned is that the receptors in the human brain that respond pharmacologically to compounds in cannabis actually process whereby new brain cells, new stem cells are created in the adult brain. And that's quite amazing. That in and of itself is phenomenal. I mean, when you stimulate these receptors, whether through marijuana or exercise or proper diet or other means, you're actually facilitating the birth or the growth or the creation of new brain cells in your brain. And that's what learning is all about. That's what health is all about. And it's these kind of things that I found really rewarding from investigating this story and writing it up.
Martin, what's the single most important thing that you think citizens of the United States should take away from research such as you did with Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana?
I don't know if there's one single thing, because, you know, I wrote the book for a lot of different audiences. I wrote the book for people who did know a lot about marijuana, as well as for those who didn't know anything. So, you know, I think that what the take-home message might be different from different people, but obviously this plant should not be illegal. It's just ridiculous that it's ever made illegal. As I said earlier, prohibition's built on a mountain of lies, and the fact that we as a culture, as a society, are having so much problems with this, coming to terms with the fact that it should be legal again, shows that we have some real serious problems. If we can't deal with this, how are we going to deal with these other issues we have in our society, global warming and these we're facing? And I think in terms of the therapeutic value of marijuana, we should never see it as an isolated thing. One thing marijuana does, it ameliorates stress, and there's so many stresses in the society caused by many different factors, including great distance between, you know, the rich and the poor in our society.
Poverty. Martin A. Lee, really, thank you so much for being with you today. We love this book and we love you. Thank you for supporting KBOO.
Thank you.
That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Martin Lee. More about him at projectcbd.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for Andrew Geller and Jerry Mander.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis in Albany. The time is 9 o'clock straight up. Coming up next on Political Perspectives, Andrew Geller hosts a conversation with activist and author Jerry Mander about his latest book, The Capitalism Crisis, Fatal Flaws of an Obsolete System. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, followed by Flashpoints.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Syria Rising, Voices in Solidarity, a fundraising concert on April 27th organized by the Portland Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Coalition and Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights, in conjunction with their second annual conference entitled Palestine, Imperialism, and the New Middle East, the Arab Spring 2 years on. The concert will raise funds for Syria Relief and Development, a nonprofit bringing humanitarian aid to the borders of Turkey and Jordan, as well as into Syria. The lineup features accomplished international and local artists including Omar Effendim, Invincible, Remy Kanazi, Black Butterfly, Rose City Mischief, and KBOO's very own DJ Sesqui, and myself, the Seamstress of Sound. The concert is located at PSU's Hoffman Hall, 1833 Southwest 11th Avenue, on Saturday, April 27th, 7 p.m. For more information, you can visit Facebook at Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights. Click on the events button. Your help can make a difference.
Time Magazine. Read it right here in Time Magazine. Time Warner, the mass media clan, molding minds to fit their plan for youth can be a tremendous threat. Dangerous thoughts to make the big man sweat. So they paint the picture of the youth today. Being a slacker is cool, it is the way. And so they keep us dazed with the hit pop song, and we never see what's really going on. Big business pushing money and people around. We'll be hypnotized, we won't make a sound. Catchphrase mania sweeping the nation. And the OJ trial broadcast on every station.
And good morning. You are listening to Political Perspectives on KBOO Community Radio, April 3rd, 2013. My name is Andrew Geller, and I'm pleased to be here for this hour during our spring membership drive to speak with Jerry Mander. He is a longtime activist and author of many books, most recently The Capitalism Papers, Fatal Flaws of an Obsolete System. Welcome to our airwaves, Jerry Mander.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Now, you began, I'll just give people a little background here. You began your professional career in the 1960s as an ad man, working for a major San Francisco advertising company, and began to work on some environmental campaigns with the Sierra Club, led then by David Brower. Working on some highly successful and visible campaigns to keep more dams out of the Grand Canyon, help establish Redwood National Park, and to stop the supersonic transport plan, probably the least well-known of those three big accomplishments. You've written many books, as I mentioned, for arguments for the elimination of television, In the Absence of the Sacred, The Case Against the Global Economy, and For a Turn Toward the Local. And you also helped create the first public interest advertising firm, I believe it was in the world.
So, well, as far as we know, it was in the world. I mean,
sure.
It could be there's one in Slovakia that we don't know about. I'm not sure.
Now,
as far as we know, that was the first nonprofit agency that worked only for other nonprofits.